Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Our Health Matters. We are in the month of July, and today we decided to talk about something which I personally do not understand much, but thank God we have Dr. Faith in the studio. Good evening, Doc.
Hello, Steny. How are you doing?
I am getting better, but today I want us to talk about something called anemia. The myths, the truths, and what really is it?
And the facts.
And the facts, actually, because, like, I was born with enough blood, and then suddenly I'm being told my blood is low, or etc., etc. So, from what I Googled, it says anemia is a blood condition where you lack enough healthy red blood cells or hemoglobin to carry sufficient oxygen to your body's tissues. What is anemia, Doc, just for the layman out there?
So, Steny, anemia, essentially, with what you just introduced, is essentially, by definition, who says anemia is when you don't have enough hemoglobin being compared with the normal cut. For people's sakes and also pregnant status, essentially, for women, we say they're anemic if they have an HB of less than, hemoglobin of less than 12, whilst they are pregnant if they have an hemoglobin less than 11. But for men, we say they have they're anemic when their hemoglobin is less than 13. So when we say someone is anemic, essentially we are saying they don't have enough red blood cells and hemoglobin within their blood to be able to transport oxygen to the body parts, each and every body parts where oxygen is required. Mm-hmm. So essentially that's the purpose of blood. Blood is like a transport system. It transports oxygen with hemoglobin being the combi, rather, that carries the oxygen to each and every part of our body for normal body functions. So if you have anemia, if you have fewer red blood cells, if you have fewer hemoglobin, that means that transport system is going to be not functioning well, and the symptoms that you're going to present with are just signs that there is not enough oxygen reaching each and every part of your body, and maybe your body is actually trying to compensate to make sure that there's enough oxygen going to your brain, for instance.
I've been surviving all along. Then one day I go to the doctor and I'm told that I'm anemic. What causes this?
So, Steny, when you started the show, you said you were born with enough amount of anemia,
of blood.
Where,
yes.
Where did it go? So with blood, what happens, red blood cells, they shed, just like your new skin, sometimes it sheds and there's another layer of skin comes up, this renewal that happens. It's the same thing that happens with our red blood cells. They have a lifespan of about 3 months. So the amount of red blood cells that you have, the ones that you have in 3 months, mm-hmm. will probably not be existing, but your body is continuously replacing them. So the goal is to make sure that they replace them at the same amount
they are being disposed
at the same time, is it? So in some instance, if there is any lack within that balance, to then say what is being produced is less than what is being lost, that's when someone develops anemia. So what causes is essentially when you don't have enough resources within your body to make enough red blood cells according to what is lost. So when someone is deficient of nutrients like anemia, iron, mm-hmm. you know, that's the most common cause of anemia, iron deficiency. We call it iron deficiency anemia. You don't have enough iron within your body, or maybe you don't have another nutrient that is required for producing hemoglobin. Let's talk about folate, also vitamin B12. So there are then conditions that predispose to this specific deficiency. For example, if you're losing a lot of blood, in women, we talk about heavy menstrual bleeding. That's the most common cause. Or maybe within your body, you're losing blood. Maybe you have an upper GI bleed. You have a peptic ulcer, and they're bleeding continuously, a little bit. You're losing more blood than what your body can replace. Mm-hmm. And that's how you then get anemia as well. And also when you have chronic diseases, when you're sick with other conditions, maybe autoimmune diseases, maybe you have an infection like tuberculosis, TB, your body then gets overwhelmed with other things that is happening within the body, and then it absorbs the nutrients for maybe when you have an infection, you want to produce more white cells to combat that infection. So what is then needed to produce the red blood cells is now depleted in your body and you're not producing enough. And also we have other conditions like blood loss, anemia, when you've acutely just lose blood, see it with someone then has maybe during childbirth,
yes,
they bleed a lot, or maybe within someone has been involved with in an accident, they are cut, they are bleeding a lot and they lose a lot of blood, you know, and they cannot replace it. They lost maybe 2 liters within a space of 20 minutes or so.
And hence the transfusions.
Yes, that's when we talk about transfusion, is it? But in some cases, we actually have inherited anemias. You said, there's a problem from the word go. We talk about sickle cell anemia. This cannot present, it may not present as early as in when are newborn, but as someone are very young, they can start their blood cells, they are not, they have a structural defect, they don't function as normal as the normal red blood cells. So they won't be doing what they're supposed to do efficiently. So we talk about thalassemias. This is another inherited anemia disease as well. So those are the most common causes of anemia.
All right, Doc. And we're talking about iron, lack of it in the system as being one of the causes. Basically, what role does the iron play in my body?
So an iron is the one that bonds with the oxygen. Mm-hmm. And then carries it and drops it where it needs to be. So essentially, that's what's its role in the hemoglobin. As it is the carrier agent of oxygen. You know, iron is N2+. You know, chemistry is quite complex. I don't remember.
Yes,
that's what it does.
Yes.
So that's the role it plays within our body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very essential to make sure that you have enough iron. Not just iron. We talked about the other vitamins, folate,
yes,
vitamin B12. So that's why poor diet is actually a very big risk factor of iron. That's why in children as well, we talk about giving them supplements. Make sure that if eating enough of what they need to eat, make sure they get enough nutrients, especially also with the elderly. We talk about giving them supplements, multivitamins, because sometimes they don't eat enough or they're a bit picky. So that's why you talk about supplements. And also in women, because in women, they are not just producing the blood for them to use, they're also producing blood for the kids and also the other body parts for the child, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
during pregnancy.
Yes, that's why we talk about an pregnant how supplements that you're supposed to take before pregnancy and during pregnancy, is it? So,
but how many people actually take them before, Doc? Because I think
very complex
in our cultural setup, very few people, even during pregnancy, someone might really not understand why they need to take those tablets.
So that's when that's why it's very important when someone knows, when they pick that they're pregnant, for them to go and book a clinic, because they need to get this counseling. They need to have an understanding why they need to take their supplements. Mm-hmm. And most of the times, pregnancy people, we do not plan ahead. Not everyone knows that they should be able to go to a gynecologist, sit down and talk to them that they want to get pregnant within this time frame. What can they do to make sure they're preparing their body enough to be able to carry that child and make sure that their body is also well nourished for the child and for themselves. So like what I was saying is the iron, the folate, the vitamins, the micronutrients, they're being used to build the baby within the belly, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And also you as a person, is it, you're providing for another person within you, and what your body is actually carrying is bad another weight on you, so you need more for your day-to-day function.
I can only imagine how it goes, especially when you're having the morning sickness or you can't even actually eat anything.
Exactly.
So I guess it becomes very hectic.
Definitely. So within the morning, so you're talking about someone who cannot even palate enough food or food
for
properly.
Themselves.
Exactly. So you need to have a good counsel with you and say, if you're bumping into this situation, which supplements should you take? Is it, what other medication can you take that is safe for the child, and also that can allow you to take your food and also your supplements without vomiting as much?
Mm-hmm. So, Doc, one other question maybe that I would have. You touched slightly on periods. Maybe just take us down. You're saying we're losing blood. But every other woman maybe goes through that session of periods. What can a woman do to actually prevent? Because I'm sure, let me ask this first. Is anemia most commonly in women or in men, or it doesn't care, it just happens?
So, Stan, anemia is actually very common in women than it is in men. Reason being, we as women have more risk factors to develop anemia, because it within our reproductive period age gap is we are losing blood on a monthly basis.
Yes.
When we do get pregnant, we are providing blood for the child, and also we do lose blood during giving birth. So we have more risk factors for developing anemia than men. But it is then we also have to consider the fact that there are other factors that men do have for anemia that we also have. So we sort of have double jeopardy there. But it's very important to then say, even though we have the risk factors, also men, they do need to take care of themselves to make sure that they do have enough blood levels within their body, because of the tasks that they sometimes do that are heavy, that requires them to have enough hemoglobin to provide oxygen for the hard tasks that they do. But who actually states that anemia affects about 40% of children from 6 to 59 months. So this is also very important to know that as much as we women, our children as well, they do have a higher risk factor, because like I said, they're coming from us. If you don't have enough iron within your body, the child is going to be maybe born with low iron. And then when they're starting their life as well, if they're going to have picky eaters, we need to make sure that we are supplementing them as well, so that they don't have enough iron levels within their body as well. And 37% of women actually that are pregnant, they're actually anemic. And then 30% of women within the age group of 15-49 actually known to be they're actually noted to be anemic, which is a very big number, Sten, because you're saying one in every three women is likely to be anemic.
Okay.
So this is something that we should be very proactive to then say, do I know my blood levels, do I have the symptoms, do I have the signs? Because sometimes not everyone is going on to get checked, is it? But knowing the symptoms, knowing the signs, you then say, if I'm feeling like this, I need to be checked for anemia. So like I mentioned, we have the bigger risk factors: menstruation, pregnancy, childbirth, and also breastfeeding increase our risk of then developing anemia. But as a woman, we should be very clear to then know what is normal in terms of periods, is it? Well, most women go on within having menstrual cycles that are very heavy and they think it's just normal. But in some instances, we say if you are changing 4 soaked pads a day, that's not normal.
but let's say, doesn't that like change as well with age?
Yes, it does change with age, but if they get to 4 soaked pads a day, that's not normal, Sten. So that goes to end every woman out there. If you're using pads and you're soaking 4 of them during the whole day, maybe for 24 hours, each 6 hours you're changing a pad that's already full and soaked, you need to get checked, because that is quite alarming. So you need to know as well, when you talked about changes as well, as you're seeing the changes as well, is it? You know what's normal for you, what's your baseline, is it? If you see there's a major increase within this period, you need to also just get checked, because sometimes like we talked about before, there are conditions that predispose you to heavy bleeding. We talk about endometriosis, adenomyosis, cysts, ovarian cysts as well. So being very alert of that is very important when you're on your menstrual cycle as well. We talked about taking good care of yourself nutritionally when you're pregnant, in childbirth, in breastfeeding. So just goes to say that we need to be able to be alert of that. And also as a woman, you know, you should not wait until you faint to then say, I have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, if your periods are heavy, we just took them, and you're feeling tired and weak, is it? You should go get checked, is it? So that you don't come when it's a little bit late. Just to go into something that's very important as well, I think everyone needs to know, what are the signs and symptoms? When did I say that I need to get checked? What are the signs and symptoms that say there's something wrong with me here?
Mm-hmm.
So fainting, I'll say that's the most common one. And I say that because most people come when it gets there, you know, when they can't even leave their bed, you know, when they say they want to leave their, you know, when that little activity of getting up your bed makes you feel dizzy and like you need to sit back to take a little bit of a minute and stand up slowly, that's a sign of anemia.
Mm-hmm.
That one. So the most common one as well is feeling tired all the time, low energy, dizziness, fainting, shortness of breath, you know, when you're walking up or you're climbing stairs, when you feel your heart beating a little bit faster or heart going like ba ba ba, That's another sign of anemia. Having cold feet and hands, poor concentration as well, you know, and also headaches. You know, we talk about poor concentration. Sometimes a child is in a class, we're wondering, why is this child not performing well? It's something as minor as making sure that they have enough red blood cells for them to concentrate as well. So in children, it's present with poor feeding, poor growth, poor concentration in class, and reduced activity. So sometimes a mwana asuda shamu and it's mwana kunurapka, is it? So when you go to the doctor, that's when they check maybe your the color of your tongue, your eyes, your palms as well, to then see is it as red as it should be. Mm-hmm. So someone can actually come with a paper, we call it paper white palms, you know. Mm-hmm. Their hands are now close to white because they don't have enough blood, is it? Mm-hmm. So also it's very important when you're rabbi, you can compare your hands with someone to then say, is this color as red as other people's, as is it? But you know, it's not a very good indicator, but it's a starting point for you to then say, there could be a problem, you know. But I'm not saying diagnose yourself at home, no, come, we do it. But I'm just saying there's some that you can actually just check when you come out of home as well. So it's very important if you have this sign to then say, come, let's talk, go to your healthcare provider and have a discussion to then say, why are you anemic if you're anemic?
Okay, signs and symptoms, dizziness, and all that. How best then to, besides managing my diet, what else do I need to do?
So management of anemia then depends on the level of HP that you actually at that point in time. You know, someone comes, you talked about someone was bleeding in traumatic bleedings. The mainstay is we want to replace blood as soon as possible. Talk about transfusion. Someone that is bleeding during childbirth, the mainstay is we want to make sure that that person survives. So we talk about transfusion. And if you're hemoglobin is within a level that you can actually go home and be treated out of the hospital. We talk about supplements. We talk about vitamin B12 supplements. We talk about iron and folate supplements. So it then depends with what's causing your anemia. Then we give you the right nutrient to try and boost your production of red blood cells and hemoglobin. In some patients, we actually use what we call erythropoietin, which is a protein that stimulates your bone marrow to produce more red blood cells. So at the comfort of your home, is it iron, multivitamins that usually you take with kids and pregnant, they do have iron. So you can take it with the comfort of your home when there's an indication to then say you have a high risk of developing anemia. We talked about pregnant women, you need to take it, children as well, elderly, chronically ill patients as well. You can just buy the multivitamins and drink as well.
Okay, doc, and I'm drinking my vitamins, I'm trying to put, does then it ever come to an end, like I can say, yapera?
Yes. If the underlying cause of the anemia is treatable, like for example, you are having heavy menstrual bleeding, we resolve that condition and you take your supplements and it gets to the normal level. And you're no longer bleeding as well. So the condition is then what?
Terminated, so I don't
need. Yes, now we say the condition is what? Well, is now cured, so to say. But in some cases where the underlying condition is not treatable, we talked about inherited cause of anemia, sickle cell anemia, thalassemia, you're continuously going to be in treatment for the rest of your life. For people that have infections that is causing the anemia, talking about tuberculosis, we treat the infection, make sure that your anemia is now at the normal level, and then the anemia gets cured as well.
That's interesting, doc. But then I'll still go back to this. You know, sometimes there are myths. There are myths. There are, you know, there are untruths behind conditions. And starting off, we're African. Waroiwa or something. How do we best educate each other on these issues?
So anemia it can be an association with so many conditions, is it? Someone would then say, ah, ndaengo kosora. Bandakazungunzandinarop. So dry muane, you talked about it, isn't it? So like I said, there are some infections that disrupt your body production of red blood cells. There's some infection that actually disrupts absorption of iron within your chi, within your stomach, is it? So it could be a symptom of other things happening. So if you then find someone that is not feeling well with another condition, and then they say that they don't have enough blood, it does not mean there's something that was mysterious that was happening. It just goes to show how our body is a system where everything is sort of interconnected, whereby one thing can lead to the other. So it's very important to then have the open mind to then say, kana munanza aneropa shoma, what should be done, and the need for just be done to make sure that someone gets better without speculation. And the other myth that is then is anemia is always caused by lack of food. That's not correct. We did say yes, lack of some vitamins and micronutrients.
Balanced diet.
Yes. Causes anemia, but the other causes that you talked about, bleeding, poor absorption, pregnancy, infections, chronic disease, that causes anemia. So someone can then say, rukenda kupin rukuja. No, like I said, there are other conditions. We just need to find the reason why you're anemic into that condition. And some people say, all tiredness is anemia. Someone just tweeted and say, soro parangri shoma. No, that's not it. Well, tiredness is one of the common symptoms of anemia, mm-hmm. but that's not entirely...
You can be tired because you've got high BP, you've got to be tired because you've got low BP, you could be tired
because you have low
sugar. You're just tired.
Yes, you're tired because you're working, you've been just working a lot. So so when you go to your doctor with saying, I am tired, definitely they will do an FBC. But let's not then be a clue to them, say, when they say, we want to do something else to check why you could be this tired, then say, no, I know I'm tired, this is the only reason. Mm-hmm. We also need to have an open mind that to then say tiredness can be caused by other things. And some people can then say everyone with anemia should just take iron tablets. No, that's not correct. Iron tablets, really? They're just for iron deficiency anemia. As we talked about vitamin B12 deficiency anemia,
where you chronic
need,
one.
Yes, is it? So you need supplement vitamin B12 for you to raise your hemoglobin and RB and red blood cells. So if you just say you are told that you're anemic and then you just go on and buy iron tablets, it might not work for you, is it?
Okay, so doc, my biggest takeaway right now is there are three types of anemia, right? Causes, or should I say types or causes? Yeah. The one with the iron, the one with the vitamins, and the chronic one. And they all need to be dealt with differently.
Yes.
How long does a test take for someone to find out if they're anemic?
So an FBC, I think it takes... within the laboratory, it can take you about 10 minutes to get the reading. There are some other machines that can just take the HP to check your hemoglobin. Those ones, they give you results within 5 minutes. They're very easy to use. It's like a glucometer, essentially. But when you take it to the lab, it's like a 10-minute blood test to just show you how much levels of blood do you have, the sizes of your red blood cells as well. It's very important because with iron deficiency, they're a bit smaller. With vitamin B12, they're a bit big and folic as well. So that's what we do when you're doing what we call a full blood count, to see how much do you have, what do they look like. Also look about the other cells that were within the blood, the platelets and the white blood cells, the ones that function that fight infection as well.
Yeah, but you are usually digitally advanced. That's one thing I'll say. And I remember during Women's Month, you actually did scan my face and a lot came out. Is there something that works along the lines? Do you have an application or something that you actually use for this?
So for community screening at ZimSmart, we do have an application that we use that can assist you to check your hemoglobin in the comfort of your home. So you just say hi to us on WhatsApp. I'll share the WhatsApp number, and it takes you through a chatbot that gives you steps and then a link where you go to a platform which does anemia checking. So essentially what it just does is it just requires you to take a picture of the inner aspect of your eye for it to then check the color of that eye, then say with the amount of is it red enough to show that there's enough hemoglobin, or it's not enough hemoglobin by just looking at within your eye. Remember, I said you can go to a doctor to check within your eye. So this way, just doing it digital to then say in the comfort of your home, you can just go through our chat board and then take a picture of your eye, and we then do just reverse analysis of that eye to then confirm the amount of hemoglobin that is within your body.
Okay. So, doc, in summary, somebody has been okay all the years and then suddenly they are diagnosed. What, they don't need to panic, do they?
No, not even.
Mm-hmm. What are the do's and don'ts? Just in summary, what are the do's and don'ts and what do people really need to know? And us as a community, how best do we support people who have been diagnosed with anemia?
So, it's very important that when you get the diagnosis of anemia, to be very alert to make sure that you are getting the treatment that you need, because anemia has complications. As much as it is you're feeling tired, you think it's something that is small, or you're able to do your day-to-day task, even if you are feeling a little bit of shortness of breath, but that impact that you're putting on your body, the pressure that goes to your heart, then say it is pumped hard enough or fast enough to make sure that each and every body part has enough oxygen, because the carrier of oxygen doesn't have enough oxygen, then actually can cause a huge impact on your body. You can actually then end up having heart failure just because of anemia. So it's very important that we take anemia as a very serious disease as it is, to make sure that when you have the signs and symptoms, you get treated and make sure that it doesn't get to complications. Anemia is not a small condition. Like we talk about statistics, say nearly 1 in 3 women are anemic, and close to 30% of children as well actually anemic. So it's very important that we alert and we do the needful to make sure that we are getting screened, and also make sure that our children are getting screened for anemia as well.
Okay, doc. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, yeah. Before we go, the number for people to contact so that they try and check their own levels in the comfort of their home. Courtesy of Zim Smart Villages.
Thank you so much, Sten. So the number is 071-481-772. That's the chatbot number. So when you click it, you just say hi, and it sort of gives you questions. What is your name? What is your age? What is your gender? Then it gives you a list of the health checks that you would want. There's mental health, there's sexual reproductive health, digital midwife, and there's number 4 one that said camera scan is one that check your eye, blood, and heart. So that one, that's one, the one that you click if you just want to check your eye. But there are other services that we provide that you can see on your own on the chatbot number as well.
All right, doc. Thank you so much. This has been this week's edition of Health Matters. My name is Siteni Lea. Join us again next week as we go further into looking into our health. Remember, take time to drink water. Take time to smile. Take time to love yourself. Take a walk and just take good care of yourself. My name is Siteni once again. It's a good night.
Good night.